Chapter number 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. You can be seated. Thank you for standing for the word. I thought, I'm at the stage now where putting and sticking underneath, didn't call it the New Testament, but actually it's old. It's a couple thousand years old. So, but we still call it the New Testament because there's a new order come, a new way of doing things, a new way to worship God, a new way to behold the glory of God than what they had in the Old Testament. But the question was, where was Jesus? A lot of people today, now when we come to the house of God, I love the fellowship of God's people. But the purpose when we come to the house of God is to find Jesus, to worship him so we can worship him. And if you don't know where he's at, then you can't worship him. But I'm going to tell you today, I'm going to preach a little while about where we can find Jesus. But a lot of people are looking for popularity. They're looking for success and wealth, friendship, companionship, positions, fame. But not many are looking for Jesus. Because you can find wealth untold, but if you don't know Jesus, it won't do you any good. They say money won't satisfy you. I'd like to try it and see. If it would or not, it don't bring peace. But let me tell you something. There's only one thing that can settle what's in people's heart that they need a Savior. You was born wrong. You have to have a Savior before you can go to heaven. And so let me tell you just a few places where not to look for Jesus. If you want to find him, you know what the Bible said? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Amen. You know why some people can come to church and never see God? They don't have a pure heart. But if you got a pure heart, you can see God in a little baby. You can see him in anything. Amen. You can see him in creation. But he's not in a manger. So they ain't no use to look for him. I mean, I know every Christmas we bring a manger out and set it out in the yard and try to put Jesus in there. He's not in the manger. He outgrew the manger. And that was a purpose for him to be laid in, which is a feeding trough. And how fitting for the bread of life to be laid in a feeding trough when he was born. And he said, if you eat of this bread, you'll never hunger again. Amen. He wasn't talking about sunbeam bread or Heiner's bread. He was talking about the bread of life. Amen. He said, man can't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Right. So don't look for him in a manger, and he's not on the cross. He outgrew the cross. And if you're wearing a cross, make sure it's one that's empty, because he's not on the cross no more. Yeah. Hallelujah. And I love the preaching of the cross. I do. I love the preaching of the cross. But I'm telling you what, our gospel goes farther than the cross. And he's not in a tomb. Amen. You don't look for him in a grave. They tried that. They came to the grave of Jesus, and the angel said, why are y'all looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. So don't go to a graveyard looking for Jesus. He's not there. He was there just for a little while, but he got up. Thank God, and he's risen, and he's still alive. Amen. Let me get my throat cleared here, and I'll get on in a minute. He's not in the tomb, and neither does he live in a building made with hands. When we leave, he leaves. Amen. We brought him here today. And if you want God, you have to have him in your spirit. You got to be born of the spirit. This flesh, well, it's not going to get born again. This flesh is flesh, but that which is born of God is as a spirit. You get your spirit born of God. When you get your spirit born of God, you know what you got in you? You got the spirit of life. Amen. For the life, for the law of the spirit of life has made me free from the law of sin and death. When I got the Holy Ghost, I got the spirit of life in me. I live. I love life. Lord, I love life. I get up in the morning loving life. Because when you die two times and you get to live again, you're going to love whatever life you got. Amen. Jesus gave me life, and he gave it to me more abundantly. Hallelujah to God. That ought to make a Presbyterian shout from here to Gooberstown, Arkansas and back. To know that I've got life in me. Woo, and I'm enjoying it. Thank God. I don't get up in the morning and say, good Lord, it's morning. Get up and say, good morning, Lord. Amen. He's not in a building made with hands. I'll get to where he's at in a minute. I won't tell you where he's not. Amen. And he's not in some mystical experience and chill bumps. I used to get them when I was drinking beer and listening to, country and western song? He stopped loving her today. Man, I started loving Jesus the day I got saved. Chill bumps is not, I don't mean God's in it. I mean, you might get chill bumps, but that don't mean it's God. And he's not in this, a lot of these modern churches. These great big super churches that will not let the Spirit of God move. If the church will not let the Spirit of God move, then God is not in it. We need his Spirit more than we need life itself. We need his Word. His Word is Spirit, and it's life, and he's where his Word is. And the more his Word's here, the more he'll be here. You can't separate God from his Word. Where can you find him then? Let's send a search party out. Search party and see if we can find him. Number one, look at verse number 5 of what I just read. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. You know where you can find him at? In the scriptures. In the scriptures. You know who knew where Jesus was at? Not Herod the king. Not all of the wise men around. It was the ones that knew the word of God, knew where Jesus was at. The reason people are not finding him today is they don't know the Word of God. If you get your nose into Scripture, you will see that Jesus is in every book, every chapter, every verse. If you would pull a Scripture in Revelation, it would pucker in Genesis, because Jesus is woven throughout all of the Bible. It's all about Jesus. The whole sum of everything is the Bible is Jesus is coming, Jesus is here, and Jesus is coming again. Amen. That sums it up in everything. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Praise God. You can find him in the Scriptures. The ones who knew the Word of God told the king where he'll be. He's going to be in Bethlehem of Judea, because the prophet spoke about it. They knew that the Messiah, where he was going to be born. They knew the town. They knew everything about it, because God had spoken in his word. He gives his word for a reason. And that reason is to direct you, let you know what's going on. Thank God we've got a word church here. And I have never been so more prouder than our worship team than I was last Monday when we was at the worship center down in somewhere. Maynard. Man, was I so proud of them. I mean, they about blew the roof off of the church, spiritually speaking. And so proud of our pastor, because he's a word pastor. That's right. He likes the word. He wants the word preached, and he's going to preach the word. Thank God. Okay? You can find him in the Scripture. In John chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures." Search them. What does that mean? Search the Scriptures. We go to a motel down in Pigeon Forge, and they give you a map, and they want you to search for things that's hidden in the motel. You don't know what floor they're going to be on, but they'll give you clues. And in order to find them, what is it called, Tracy? Treasure hunt? Treasure hunt. In order to find them, you got to participate in a treasure hunt. If you really, really want to find some treasures, then you need to search the Scriptures. Because Jesus said, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." But you know what the Scriptures are doing? He said, "They're testifying of me." The Scriptures is talking about me. They're talking about me in the old Bible. They're talking about me in the new Bible. They're talking about me. And when we search the Scriptures, we can find Jesus more than we ever thought we could find him. I can look at a Bible, and Jesus would say, "Go tell the people what God has done for you." Jesus just had done it. I said, wow, they'd go tell them what Jesus done. You know why? Because in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh." That is an undisputable fact that you cannot argue, that God became man. It's settled, and it's not even debatable. Because Jesus is light, and when light shows up, darkness leaves, and it don't stick around to debate nothing. It just leaves. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, I'm feeling better all over than I am anywhere. Find him in the Scriptures. Amen. In Acts chapter 8, Philip had left the apostles. Persecution came upon the church, just a great persecution, and they were scattered abroad. The reason persecution came, Jesus had told them in Acts chapter 2 to go out into all the highways and Samaria and the uttermost parts and preach the gospel. But you know what they were doing? They were hanging around Jerusalem there where the Holy Ghost was poured out, hoping for another move of God. God already gave them the Holy Ghost. And they didn't understand that when they went out, God went with them. The Bible said God was with them, and the hand of the Lord was upon them. But they kept hanging around, I guess, waiting for another move of God. I don't know what we're waiting for. God gave us his word. He gave us his spirit. He gave us his love. What are we waiting for? We've got everything we need to have revival. We've got everything we need to preach to the lost. We got everything we need to get to heaven. And we just got to believe what God said in his word. Amen. But Philip is in the greatest revival. The whole city turned and started repenting. And while he was in the great meeting, the Bible said that the Spirit of the Lord called him out and put him in a desert. Why? Because there was an Ethiopian riding along. He was an Ethiopian reading the word of God, and the Bible called Philip down there and he said, see that guy on that chariot, join yourself with him. Here come Philip, run up and jumped on the chariot. There he was, an Ethiopian reading the word of God. And Philip said, do you know what you're reading? He said, well, how can I except some man explain it to me? And he turned. He was reading in Isaiah chapter 53. He said, he looked at Philip. He said, here's what it said. He was as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world before his shears, and he opened not his mouth. Philip said, well, what about it? He said, is he talking about himself, or is he talking about another? And the Bible said, Philip, at the very scripture, he didn't go up one, he didn't come down one. At the very scripture, he preached unto him Jesus, because Jesus is everywhere in the Bible. Hallelujah. Confine him in the scripture. Psalms 119, verse 162, it said, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. You really want some treasures? You can get your nose into scriptures, because that's where you're going to find Jesus at. Amen. Not only that, Luke chapter 24, it looked like it was all over with. The Redeemer, the Messiah, the one who was going to redeem Israel from the Roman soldiers, had died and was buried. And everything was falling apart. The disciples hid themselves because they was afraid in the building. A couple of women said, we got to do something for this Jesus. We got to take some stuff down there and franken incense and all that stuff and put at the grave. But when they got there, the stone was already rolled away. Their biggest worry was, how are we going to get that stone away? But when it got there, it was already gone. Sometimes what you're worrying about is already going to take place and happen. You don't have to worry about the future. God's in your future. God's in every detail of your life. God knows the day you was born, and he knows the day you're going to die. I don't have an expiration date on my birth certificate, but God knows when I'm going to die, and God knows I might not die. He might come back before I die. That would be okay with me. Amen. Somebody said, well, I don't know about that. I've already paid the undertaker. Well, let him have it. Thank God you're not going to need it anyway. I heard one man said he had a pre-played plan for a cremation service. And if he died in the fire, he got half his money back. Lord, I'm telling you, people are crazy this day. Yeah. So here they was, two of them walking on the road to Emmaus. And, buddy, they thought they lost everything. What in the world's going on? All of a sudden, here come a third man, joined in with them. The third guy looked at him and said, well, what in the world's going on with y'all? Y'all so sad and cast down? He must have come out of the first church of Jesus. Hey, we ain't got nothing to be sad about. We got everything to be right about, because they didn't know that Jesus had risen. That's why they was sad. We know it, so we don't have no reason to be sad. I heard a story one time about this man. He was a drunk, and his wife and boy would go to church, and they prayed for him. And every Saturday night, he'd go out and get drunk and trade for something different. And that boy would get up Sunday morning on his way to get ready to go to church and look out the window and see what his dad had traded for when he got drunk. Looked out there one time, and he seen an old long-eared mule with his head hanging down. And he jumped and runs, Mommy, Mommy, come and look. Dad traded for a Christian horse. That's a sad testimony against us, ain't it? Amen. He said, what are y'all so cast down for? Well, haven't you heard? Haven't you heard what's been going on? Are you a stranger in town? And they said that Jesus had been crucified, and they walked on the way to Emmaus. And he made like he was going to go on. But they said, why don't you come in? That tells me he wants to be invited. That tells me that you need to accept him and invite him into every situation you have. You want God? Invite him. He'll come in. They sat down and they was talking, and the Bible said that he began to expound unto them on their way to the house in Emmaus about all of the prophets and the books of Moses and the Psalms, and he expounded unto them the things concerning himself. He was telling them what the scripture was saying, and they did not know it. But when they sat down and handed him the bread, and he broke the bread, and boy, they ain't nobody can break bread like Jesus. When they broke the bread, they said, it's him, it's Jesus, and he disappeared out of their sight. Thank God for somebody that can break bread and get your eyes open. We want to open the sinner's eyes. We got to break this bread of life to them. Let them know. Amen. Okay, I'm going to try to hurry. Here's what my salvation is. You can find him in the scriptures. But not only that, you can find him in the saints. Oh, yes. Listen to what Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2 and 20. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. But Christ liveth in me. Wow. The Apostle Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. He had revelations untold. He saw things that wasn't even lawful to utter. God gave him the revelation of the Gentiles, and he was the apostle to the Gentiles. But he was telling, here's what really happened. He said, I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But Christ lives in me, and the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So if we were baptized into the body of Christ by one Spirit, are we all baptized into one body? Then we were crucified when he was crucified, and we resurrected when he resurrected. Because I'm put into the body that's already suffered hell. I was put in the body that came out of death. And I'm just as good as if I had went through it myself, because I'm depending upon what he done. Ephesians 3 and 17, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. My salvation is because I believe the word and have faith in Jesus as God's only plan for man to be saved. There is no other plan for man to be saved. I don't care what your grandma and grandpa taught you. If they didn't teach you Jesus is the only way, you've been taught wrong. A lot of these people are faithful to a church because Papa laid the foundation for it. But honey, the foundation was already laid thousands of years ago. We can't build another foundation. Build up on the foundation of the apostles and the apostles and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And they told him in the Bible, said, that stone that you rejected has now become the head of the cornerstone. Jesus is God's way for salvation. And there is no other name among men whereby we must be saved, neither is there salvation in any other than the name of Jesus. You see why I love that name so great? You see why I praise that name? Muhammad couldn't save me. Pope couldn't save me. Buddha couldn't save me. Joseph Smith couldn't save me. It takes Jesus to impart life. Only him can. Listen. If I can turn to it. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh, that body that hung on the cross. You ever notice when the Bible says the Jesus of Nazareth, it's referring to his humanity? Because it was, you see, well, I'll tell you that in a minute. In the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and unblameable. Don't blame me. You're not going to blame me. I come from a family of 15. When something happened, it wasn't me. It was usually one of my 9 sisters. I know what great tribulation was. I had 9 sisters. And they used to babysit me, and they'd threaten me, and they'd say, you better behave or the ghost is going to get you. And I was scared of a ghost. I come to find out they was prophesying. A ghost got me one day. It's called the Holy Ghost. Woo! I'm not ashamed of the Holy Ghost. You can get in a modern church and they'll call it Holy Spirit. Almost spit when they say it. Hallelujah. Let's call it what the Bible calls it. Amen. He's the only one that can impart life in us. And unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. You're not going to reprove me. I'm unreprovable in his sight. I'm just as clean as he is. Somebody said, I don't believe that. Well, we were made righteous just like he's righteous. He put his righteousness to my account. Hallelujah. And I'm baptized in the body of Christ. And I'm just as righteous as he is because he gave it to me. He knowed I couldn't do it. He'd better give it to me. All right, let me go on. Where is Jesus? He's right here today, right here, right here. Do you really, really believe that? You better. Because he said, where 2 or 3 are gathered together, there will I be in the midst of them. And we meet the requirement. We had to put out folding chairs. So I believe we meet the requirement of him being here. The thing of it is, you know why we don't want to recognize him? Because he looks like you. He looks like Damon. He looks like Johnny. He looks like Mike. He looks like y'all. He's in you. And we need to recognize one another, not as an individual, but you are a brother in Christ. You are a sister in Christ. Me and John Cottonback are double brothers. We are brothers, well, in the Lord, and we are brothers in arms. And so we are brothers and sisters in the Lord. This is one big happy family. I mean, if you're happy, we are. And we need to be happy because, Lord, look at all the brothers and sisters I got. And y'all got Christ in you. And you know what that is? The Apostle Paul said, the old saints didn't know the mystery, but it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. So when we come here, it's come to worship Jesus and acknowledge one another. As now listen, if I've got a minute part of him in me, I may not can accomplish much, but all of us together, it's amazing the power of the Holy Ghost that's in this building today. When Solomon dedicated the temple in the old Bible in Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14, he began to pray a prayer. And the Bible says, and the people and the singers and the musicians lifted up as one to the glory of God. When they worship and cried out as one, if we could get everybody at the same time to holler, hallelujah, Let's try it. Hallelujah. The Bible said the glory of the Lord came down and filled the temple. We want the glory in here? Then we're going to have to get our minds on praising God. Where is he? He's here. Not only is he here, but he's in his church. His church is made up of saved people, the body of Christ. We gather together in this building to worship him, and he's with us. Where else is he? I got about two more things, and I'm going to sit down. Where is he? He can be found in the praise of his people. Yes, sir. Psalms 22 and verse 2. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabits the praises of Israel. Now, it talks about Israel. We are the spiritual Israel. And so, we're God's people. And he said, thou can be found, thou inhabits the praise of his people. That means you can draw God near to you by praising him. Just by praising his name, you can get God to come closer to you. You know, if you see a little child, we all around here love kids. We got so many of them. I mean, and there's more on the way, thank God. Hallelujah. Me and John sit back there and we just amaze ourselves at how wonderful the kids are in this church. And they want to come by and they want to hug you. And do you have gummies? And I love that. But you if you want to get a child to come to you, you know what you do? You don't say, hey, get over here, you little brat. They're going to run the opposite direction. You're going to say, oh, my, what a pretty dress you have on. Look at them beautiful shoes. Where'd you buy them at? And they're going to start smiling, and they're going to come to you. Here's the way we treat God sometimes. Instead of praising him, we want to complain in our prayers instead of praising him. And when you begin to complain to God, it's comparable for a man to have a nagging wife. That's almost the same thing because men detest nagging women. You know why? Y'all can out-talk us. And we don't have words to say to come back. And so when it gets too hot and it gets too thick, you know what we do? We say, I'm going to go wash my car. You just washed it yesterday. Yeah, but I know I'm going to wash it again. When we go to God, we need to go as a God that can answer prayer and begin to worship him and not complain. Oh, Jesus, you know what Sally done? You told me to bring her up in church and she's gone plumb crazy. And it looks like Johnny's going to do this and Johnny's going to do that. And, oh, God, I just don't know if I'm going to be able to pay my bills a minute. And God said, I think I'm going to wash my chariot. No, here's how we approach God. God, I praise you for salvation. I praise you if I've got stuff and if I don't have stuff. I praise you in the morning. I praise you at noon. And I'll praise you at nighttime. I praise you when I feel good. I praise you when I feel bad. I praise you because you're God and you're worthy of all praise. I praise you, God, because you hung on a cross. And if the thief was the only one that could have got saved, you would have done it for him. But no, you saved everybody that comes unto you. For God is not mocked. I perceive that God is no respecter person, but to everyone who fears God and believeth, he'll save him to the uttermost. Hallelujah to God, because he's God. And we want to know, I'll worship you till the day I die. He'll come near you when you start praising him. Now, when the Bible said, praise ye the Lord, that's not a suggestion. No, it's not a suggestion. A lot of people think the Ten Commandments are the Ten Suggestions. David was a man after God's own heart. But let me tell you about David. He was not perfect. He was lustful. He had kids with different women. He was a bloody man of war. The only thing David had going for him, he knew how to repent and he knew how to praise God. He even made instruments to praise the Lord on. And if you want God to come to your situation, you're going to have to learn to start praising Him. I don't care how bad it gets. I don't care how things fall apart. And the devil comes at you. He don't come at you just in single. He comes at you like grapes and bananas in bunches. He comes at you hard and heavy, and it just looks like there's no hope. They took Peter and John, and they beat them badly and cast them into prison. I mean, their eyes was black and their lips were swollen. They was bruised, beaten almost to death, put them in prison. And about midnight, the darkest time of the day, looked like everything was gone, beat half to death in prison. The Bible said at midnight, they began to sing and to praise God. Hallelujah. You know what? God didn't come down there and open the prison doors to let them out. God came down there and opened the prison doors and got in there with them, because He heard somebody that was in trouble and they wanted to praise Me. They want to worship Me in all of their heart and all of their problems. They said, Lord Jesus, we love You, Lord. I mean, when you begin to worship God in the truth and in the spirit, He will come into your situation and He'll send an earthquake if He has to. Hallelujah. God came to where they was, locked in a prison. Bible says, and I'll quit with this, and I know I've probably been a little bit too long. It's 12:30, but y'all just going to go get something to eat after you get through anyway. So let me tell you this. Sometimes when we begin to praise God, the devil's really going to fight us. I mean, he's going to fight us really bad, and he's going to try to keep us from praising God. But in Hebrews, it says, by Him, therefore, let us offer up a sacrifice of praise. Now, a sacrifice is something that's costly. Let me tell you what, if your praise don't mean anything to you, it don't mean anything to God. If your offering, if your sacrifice, it don't mean anything to you, it don't mean anything to God. He said, by Him, therefore, let us offer up a sacrifice of praise continually. Not just when you're in trouble, but continually. The fruit, even the fruit of our lips, giving praise unto His name. Wow. When we can get to where we can praise God, no matter what we're going through with, we'll see Him come into our situation and give us deliverance. I thank God. Come on, Damon, and take this and give an altar call. I'm not good at altar calls. I start crying when I want to lead people to God. So